It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been studying in the book of 1 Peter, and then the last time I left off with 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, and I'd like to read that again right now. It says, starting in verse 10, it says, "Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into." Well, in these verses, we see the prophecy coming there of the prophets of the Old Testament. They told of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the grace that he would shed abroad on the people of this world. They searched. They looked for the manner of time of the Spirit of Christ when he would come, and they saw beforehand, according to verse 11, they testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, in verse 12, it says, you know, it talks about this, that the apostles there to the people of God, especially notice it says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister the things. Well, once again, that's the apostles. And we're reading in 1 Peter here in chapter 1, how that he knew, Peter knew the Old Testament and how these Old Testament prophets had prophesied of the coming of the Lord. And of course, we know that Peter saw Christ personally. The apostles preached this. They preached Jesus Christ. It says, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, not to the prophets themselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. The prophets didn't see Jesus, but Peter has. And Peter had saw him. The apostles saw the Lord, but the apostles or the prophets, they prophesied of these things. And I believe this teaches even further that the preaching of the apostles was to take place here. It teaches and reaches into the day and time that we live in as to how the ministers of God preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let anyone ever try to tell you that the Old Testament has been done away with, that we should not look at the Old Testament, because in the Old Testament, we have spoken of there the things of God, and especially we see Jesus Christ represented there and prophesied of there, and you can't take the New Testament without the Old Testament and vice versa. Both of these work together. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament, they are the Word of God. They do not contain, they are the Word of God, the Bible. So in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, we see the prophets of old. And we also see the preaching of the gospel, of the things that the Old Testament prophets prophesied of. Then the prophets inquired and searched diligently about the future salvation that was to come, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. And the prophets wondered what the Spirit of Christ in them was saying, because Christ himself, the testimony of his sufferings, they saw this before the sufferings actually occurred. And we see this all through the Old Testament scriptures. Isaiah chapter 53, and if you go back and read Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24, you'll see a trilogy there of the crucifixion of the Lord. And it's the prophecy there. And Psalm 22 talks about how that he would go through all of these sufferings. In fact, it talks about, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then in chapter 23 of the book of Psalms, it talks about the shepherd. He is my shepherd. And you keep reading and you see the glories of God in those three chapters alone, in Psalm 22, 23, and 24. They go together. Read those, if you would, later on and see how that they work together. Well, we see that Christ himself, in the Old Testament even, we see him there, and he testified of his own sufferings that would occur. You say, well, how did he do that? He wasn't born yet. Yes, but he is the Son of God. He is God. And we see that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made, according to the book of John. He is God. Jesus Christ has been forever and ever. He had no beginning, and he'll have no end. So we see the testimony of the sufferings of Christ that took place there in the Old Testament. It hadn't happened yet, but it was prophesied of. Well, then we see the glories to follow, the future salvation, according to verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 1. And the future salvation was revealed to the prophets, not for their benefit, but for ours, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. And the information from the prophets about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is now confirmed by those who, through the Holy Spirit, preached the gospel, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Well, those who preach the inspired, the unadulterated Word of God, they give testimony of what the Old Testament prophets said, because they're telling exactly what has taken place, and that is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, his sufferings, and his glory, and the future salvation of those who trust him. But notice the rest of that verse in verse 12. It says, which things the angels desire to look into. We make a lot about angels, and I know angels are important. There's no doubt that they are important, but they're not who saves us, and they're not the ones who actually protect us. It's God who protects us. But notice there, it says that the angels look into these things. Well, the angels are interested. The angels also want to know about the gospel, because they are ministering spirits. They minister unto the Lord. They're there, and they can't be saved as such as we think of being saved. And now, of course, we know that those angels who are with God right now, they're not going to be cast into outer darkness, into chains. They're not going to be chained up or anything like that. But they still wonder, because this has not happened to them. They haven't experienced salvation as we have. They will not experience what you and I experience as saved people. And they're interested, and they want to know. And I'm sure that they also wonder why a sinful human being would not turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, come into my heart. I want you as my Savior. I admit I'm a sinner. I admit that I've been wrong, Lord, and I am wrong, and I deserve death. I deserve to be punished, Lord. But thank you that you've taken my punishment for me, and I receive that. I receive your testimony, Lord. I receive the testimony of the Old Testament, of the New Testament, of how that you came into the world, you gave your life, and you're living now for me, and I receive you, Lord, as my Savior right now. Any person can do that, because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Any person can be saved if they will simply trust the Lord. And you know, the angels wonder why sinful man doesn't do that. They wonder about salvation, and they also wonder why sinful man does not take advantage of the fact that Jesus did die for them and shed his blood on the cross, and that now he's living. He's coming back. And they don't understand why people do not trust Jesus as Savior. Well, frankly, I don't either. I know that I went several years without trusting him, and then it suddenly dawned on me, what's wrong with you? You need to be saved, I was telling myself. You need to seek and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And thank God there was a day when I said, Lord, come into my heart. I receive you as my Savior. Well, notice verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 1 now. It says, wherefore? In other words, because of what we've just read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. It says, wherefore? Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What's he saying here? He's saying this. He's saying, have your mind prepared for the challenges ahead. Be prepared. You know, we need to be prepared at all times for the things that come into our lives, and there's only one way to do that, and that's through the Lord. It's also, here it just talks about, we are to be spiritually rational. We're not to go thinking things that are not rational. And I'm not talking about humanistic rationality. I'm talking about spiritual rationality. It's being spiritually rational, being in the Word of God and understanding the things of the Spirit. Be rational. Make decisions based upon the Word of God. And I believe that verse goes on to tell us that we're to be confidently looking to our future salvation, the grace that will be revealed at the coming of Christ. And thank God he's coming soon. And some of us, I don't believe that we'll taste death. Some of us won't taste death as we understand death, but this body has to die. But I believe that the Lord is coming back soon for those who trusted him as Savior. And this body's going to be changed at that time. He's going to say, come up hither, and we'll be forever with the Lord. And this body is going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, and we will be with the Lord forever. Of course, for those people who go before that time, I believe that they've already been changed as well. This old body goes into the ground or is burned up. Whatever happens to this old body, the body is not us. We are saved. The real person is saved, and that real person will be with the Lord one day. This body doesn't go to be with the Lord, and thank God the soul goes to be with the Lord forever once we've trusted him as Savior. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 14 through 16 says this, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, in other words, or behavior, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I believe what the Lord is telling us here, be children who obey. Listen to me. Listen to what I have to say. Do what is right. Don't pattern your life after what you were before you became a Christian, when you didn't know better. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 talks about that. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has called you, if you're saved, to be holy in everything you do, because he is holy, according to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15. Well, why be holy? Because the Scriptures say so. Now, we're going to stop here, and we're going to pick up next time in the book of 1 Peter. And if you're a Christian, you need to be living for him today. Trust him. Be happy in the Lord. Be joyful in the Lord, because he is taking care of us, and he will do that throughout all of eternity. May the Lord bless you.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.